if you're going through infertility right now, or you're going through fertility treatment, like, you don't owe anybody an explanation. And if people ask you awkward questions, it's completely up to you how you want to respond. Welcome back to the Mastering Your Fertility podcast. This show is all about reclaiming health, enhancing fertility, and preparing for pregnancy. We're Kristen Cornett and Dr. Haley Nye, your hosts and the creators of the online fertility platform, Tiny Feet. This episode is brought to you by our free online quiz called Are You Healthy Enough to Get Pregnant?, which you can download right now through the link in the podcast episode description. The quiz asks about health symptoms in 5 major categories that can have a big impact on your ability to conceive successfully and carry a healthy baby to term. It can help you understand which areas of your health may need some work before you conceive, and also gives you actionable recommendations for investigating and addressing your symptoms in each category. Download your quiz today and get started on maximizing your chances of getting pregnant and building the healthiest baby possible. All right, thank you all so much for tuning in today. We're a holistic nutritionist and naturopathic doctor, and our passion is helping couples get pregnant naturally and have healthier babies. We started a virtual practice through Tiny Feet, where you can schedule one-on-one consults to investigate your health and optimize your fertility, and we also offer online courses. You can learn more on our website at tinyfeet.co. If you're local to the Portland, Oregon area, you can also find Dr. Haley at Synergy Women's Healthcare. To learn more about working with her in person, visit synergypdx.com. You're listening to episode 57, and today we want to talk about how to navigate fertility during the holiday season. This can be a very difficult time of year if you're struggling to conceive, and we really wanted to share some thoughts with you on how to manage this season a little bit better so that you don't feel like you need the entire month of January to recover. The challenges that come up around the holidays are going to be different for everybody, but some of the most common issues we see our clients struggling with are awkward questions about having kids from friends and family who maybe don't know your situation, pregnancy announcements or gatherings filled with other people's babies and children, expectations around travel and event attendance, especially if you're currently going through fertility treatment, unsolicited health and fertility advice from well-meaning people, as well as other conversations that test your boundaries, and then balancing the need to eat well with the stress of abstaining from certain foods, and how to determine when to make exceptions to your fertility diet. These are all things that I've personally struggled with over the years that I've dealt with fertility issues. And this week, we really just wanted to provide you with a little bit of perspective, some good advice, and above all, permission to always do what is best for you. So let's go ahead and get started on the episode.
All right. So we are here today. We're going to be talking about how to deal with holiday family gatherings and the triggers that can come up with that, as well as talking about where is the line or the boundary as far as dietary considerations go, lifestyle. How do you handle this time of year when we're trying to conceive or trying to prepare for a baby? That we talk a lot about all the right things, you know, quote unquote, right things to do, all the things that we have learned in the research and have been working with our clients. And it gets really hard around this time of year because they're, you know, most people around you don't have the same goals, and they don't have, you know, they're not trying to build a family, or maybe they're in their young 20s or teenager years, or they're, you know, the older adults, and they're all doing something different, have different goals. And so, Kristen, why don't you start us off by giving us some of your experience? We're actually recording this just right after the holiday, the Thanksgiving holiday. So,
yeah, well, you know, I think there's, like you said, there's kind of two sides to this. There's the emotional side, and then there's like the boundaries piece. And then there's also like the food and practical logistical considerations piece. Mm-hmm. And I used to be bad at all of those things. and, you know, experiencing firsthand infertility and going through a lot of holidays like this, I really understand a lot of the struggle that maybe some of you are experiencing if you're listening to this. And that's kind of why we wanted to do this episode, was to give you guys some ideas I've had to deal with this time of year better so that it doesn't feel so depleting. I feel like myself in the past and a lot of people that I know, you get to the holidays and you're all excited for the holidays and then it just completely wipes you out, like physically, emotionally, you eat like crap, you feel like crap, you deal with all of these crazy emotional situations. And, you know, we still have the Christmas holiday or other holidays, other holidays during this time of year, and just figuring out how to do that a little bit better so that you don't feel as awful and you don't feel like you have to completely revamp after the New Year's. So, you know, my experience with the emotional stuff is just being honest with you guys, I haven't handled that very well in the past. And it's really been a struggle for me to cultivate better habits. So I'm coming at this and sharing my advice with you guys from a place of having done this, what I would say wrong for a lot of years in the past. But I have learned a lot of strategies and most of the people that are close to me know my story by now and they don't ask me questions like, when are you having kids? Because they kind of already know that the answer is when we're ready again, you know? And the first thing I want to tell you guys is that if you're going through infertility right now or you're going through fertility treatment, like you don't owe anybody an explanation for what it is that you're going through. And if people ask you awkward questions, it's completely up to you how you want to respond. Like you have the option to say nothing and just smile, pretend you didn't hear them and change the subject to something else. You have the option to be honest about what you're going through and kind of let them know that maybe they asked a personal question that wasn't 100% appropriate. Like maybe that's not a question you should go around asking people, like, when are you going to have kids? Or worse yet, like, why don't you have kids? Or, oh, you're getting older. You better get on it soon if you want to have a family. That is an opportunity to politely educate somebody that they've crossed a boundary and asked a question that they probably shouldn't have asked, especially if they don't know anything about your story, and especially if they're more of an acquaintance. I feel like people ask the question, when are you going to have kids? As just a conversation starter, or do you have kids? Like, that's just a conversation starter. It's like asking what you do for a living. It's just a thing that people say to kind of start a conversation, especially when they don't know what else to talk about or what else to say. And they don't realize that they might be stepping in dangerous ground or on sensitive territory. And so, you know, you can let that opportunity to educate them pass if that's not something that you're comfortable doing. But it's completely okay to say, you know, we've been trying and things haven't exactly worked out for us. Or you could say, you know, that's an awfully personal question, and I don't feel 100% comfortable talking about that with you, and then just ask them something about themselves. That's kind of my advice for handling some of those insensitive comments. And depending on your relationship with the person that you're having a conversation with, you may choose to be a little bit more blunt and upfront about your displeasure of being approached that way, or you might choose to just kind of let that whole thing pass and brush off your shoulder. But I think my biggest piece of advice for handling that, regardless of which route you choose to go with, whether you choose to be honest and open about what you're going through, or you choose to let that opportunity pass by to say anything about it and just change the subject, I would be prepared. I would have some idea of how you want to handle that in advance so that you're not blindsided when people ask you those questions. Because the worst thing is to have that hit you in a moment that you're not expecting it, and to have not really thought about it before, like what you're going to say to people and how comfortable you're going to be about sharing your story or not sharing your story. So just having that in your mind before you go to some of these family gatherings or parties or things, like just have an idea of how you want to approach that and have an idea of how you might do it differently with different types of relationships.
Yeah. That's really good advice, Kristen. And another thing that I was kind of thinking about is it might be helpful also to just, if it seems appropriate with the type of person that you're talking to, maybe they're a family member, is a lot of, I would say the vast majority of people don't realize how common it is to struggle with infertility or even with a recurrent miscarriage and things like that. So it might be a good opportunity to be able to give them some of those stats, like, you know, 1 in 8 couples are struggling with infertility. That's a lot of people. And, and it's quite shocking, I think, when people just, it's not on their radar and they don't understand like that, how common it actually is. And then 1 in 4 pregnancies end in miscarriage. And that also is where, especially like, I don't want to call out men, but like, it's just not on their radar, you know? So if they are doing what Kristen was saying, like trying to small talk with you, when are you going to have kids or something like that, you know? Again, if it's somebody that you feel comfortable giving some of those stats to, it might be an opportunity to open their eyes up and they can kind of switch their mode into more of an empathy or learning more about that, because it is an opportunity to educate.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the next thing I would say is drawing boundaries around unhelpful or unsolicited advice. I've gotten a lot of this in my past, because when I started my journey, I was not educated the way that I am now about fertility or even about health, you know, especially from a functional perspective. And, you know, people are going to say whatever they're going to say, and they all have their opinions about what works. You'll hear a lot of things, especially from family members, that tell you to just relax because getting pregnant was easy for them. So why should it be so hard for you? You're clearly overthinking it if you're not getting pregnant. And that's partly an education gap, because they don't understand how common it is. I don't think most people mean to be insensitive. I just feel like some people don't have the tools and skills to recognize when it's time to be empathetic with other people. And they don't really understand how to communicate in a give and take conversational kind of way. A lot of people are used to managing the conversation themselves, especially older adults that you may have grown up having an adult child relationship with, like obviously your parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, things like that. They still take that parent kind of approach to you. And so they think that they're helping by providing some of those unsolicited pieces of advice or telling you about all the things that you can try or some story about somebody that they knew that struggled to get pregnant and what worked for them. And, you know, it's okay to just kind of smile and nod, say thank you and move on. Or if you don't feel comfortable receiving that kind of advice and it's extremely upsetting to you, it's okay to say, you know, I'm okay with what I'm doing right now, and I appreciate that you care about me and that you're trying to share things, but I really would like to talk about something else.
Yeah. And another potential option too is having a confidant or somebody in your family that you maybe are really close with, such as a sister or brother or mom or something, where they do know your situation, that you feel very comfortable with, that you trust them, that they're empathetic, and that maybe they can kind of help you navigate that family gathering to where they, what's the word, like they intervene in like kind of a sly way where they're just kind of change the subject or, you know, like, oh, Haley, I need you to help, you know, come over here and help me or something, where, you know, you feel like you have somebody there to protect you and protect your emotions and to where you don't feel like you're trapped in some type of conversation you don't want to be in.
Yeah. And your partner can be really helpful for that as well. You know, especially if you're spending time with not your own family. You know, we've had a few awkward moments around the kid discussion. Like when we first, I think we kind of made a mistake when we first started trying, because we told our families that we were trying and we hadn't been married that long at that point. And I guess because my in-laws don't live here in Portland where we don't see them as often. And so I didn't really know what to expect when we first told people that we were trying. But like the first thing I got was like a present. It was like a big diaper bag full of all kinds of baby supplies.
Oh, wow.
And we got things like that sort of continuously throughout that first year. And that was sort of a reminder of like what we were going through, was to continually have that excitement from other people. And you know, that was a little bit difficult. And so having your partner there to help manage some of those conversations, if it's not your own immediate family and you don't feel comfortable addressing that awkwardness, having your partner intervene on your behalf and allowing that to be something that strengthens your communication with your own partner, like having them be able to read a little bit better what you need, or just having those explicit conversations of how you need to be supported in their family environment. You know, I think it's an opportunity for growth with your partner and with your extended family. And if you can navigate around a little bit of that emotional stuff and prepare in advance, then I think it's easier to see the opportunity for that as opposed to just being blindsided by awkward and emotional situations, which I've been through. So I get that.
Yeah, definitely. Really good advice. So hopefully that helps a little bit. We know this episode is coming a little later after the first major holiday, but maybe it's some little pieces of advice for the upcoming rest of the year. So maybe at this point, let's just transition into how to handle lifestyle, dietary, all the things where we're trying to do everything, you know, quote unquote, right for preparing for a baby or during their fertility journey. And now we're up against everybody who wants to take us out for drinks or bring us treats or pies and, you know, cook us elaborate meals. And it's
parties.
Lots of parties. And so, Kristen, why don't you start off with kind of what your take is on this time of year?
Yeah, you know, I think that this time of year is and should be kind of different for everybody, depending on where you're at in your journey. So, you know, my opinion, clients ask me this because obviously we're working with a lot of people and we get a lot of, well, what about the holidays? Like, what do I do with this? Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to be traveling. I'm not going to be staying in my own house. How do I manage food? Some of them have started elimination diets and they're worried about kind of what it's going to be like if they're off plan. I just want to like have a quick conversation about the word cheat. I really hate that word. I used mm-hmm. to use it all the time with myself and with my clients. And I found that that just really fosters kind of the wrong attitude about food. And it really reinforces this idea of perfectionism. Like if you do something that isn't 100% in line with what your plan is for this current stage, then that's cheating and that's bad and you're doing something terrible. And, you know, I try not to use language like that. I'll hopefully not catch myself doing that in this episode, but just avoiding even thinking words like, oh, I cheated today. I did something.
I messed up.
Like, don't try not to beat yourself up about choices that you make because everything's a choice. And if you make a choice that you're not 100% happy with, it's okay to just make a better one the next time. You don't have to beat yourself up over it.
Yeah.
That said, you know, when it comes to choices that you might make during the holidays, it depends a lot on where you're at in your fertility journey. And so I might recommend that a client who is actively going through IVF treatment or is going to be seeking out IVF treatment or is about ready to start a cycle and is in that really critical egg and sperm development period where those choices that you make matter a little bit more and the stakes are really high and you've paid a lot of money. And if you're at the point where you're going into IVF, you've been through a lot on your journey. And I just don't think that it would be mentally, maybe just for me, I can speak from my own perspective. I don't think that it would be mentally nourishing to me to wonder whether or not a choice I made had anything to do with the outcome if it didn't go the way that I wanted it to. And so I think it's definitely worth trying to stick a little bit more with whatever fertility eating plan or, you know, dietary plan, nutrition plan that you're going into IVF with. I think it's worth sticking a little bit closer to that during the holidays if that's what your story is right now. And there are a lot of strategies that you can take to do that. Haley, what are some of your favorites for navigating sticking with good food choices during the holidays?
Well, I was just thinking, like, if you are going through an IVF cycle around this time, it's a hard time to do it. But I mean, this is your number one priority. Obviously, you've made this choice to be able to go through. You know, you're finally here. You're getting your eggs retrieved. I mean, it's quite an amazing, awesome experience, and that you've really worked yourself up to. And so, maybe this time of year, you say no to holiday travel. You say no to going to those parties. You really kind of hunker down and stay focused. And, you know, there's always going to be another holiday next year. You know, yeah. I've kind of thought about that. Like it just for my own example, I think you guys remember is, last year I was feeling so poorly with my digestion that I did the elemental diet right over Christmas. Like I mean, it's almost like when you put your body first and you know what your first priority is, everything else shouldn't matter. And, you know, hopefully your friends and family will understand. And if they don't, you know, make something up, but really you're the number one priority. And here it is, you know, a year later and I get to eat what I want this holiday season. And I'm not crying over last year. You know what I mean? Like it's already gone behind me and I felt a whole lot better. So I'm so happy that I did it. So I just, if you guys are, you know, being pressured to participate in the holidays, you know, you do have a choice. you can decide to just bypass for a year.
Completely. And, you know, that goes back to the conversation about boundaries. It's not just boundaries about what am I going to allow people to bring up in conversation about my fertility, mm-hmm. but it's also boundaries around like, is this really a nourishing gathering for me to go to? Like, how is it going to feel for me in the middle of an IVF cycle when I'm, you know, kind of hopped up on hormones, like, especially if you're in the middle of stims right now, like, how is it going to feel to me to go to a house where somebody might announce a pregnancy or be around mm-hmm. a ton of babies? Like, you know, some people, when they're going through fertility, they really enjoy being around pregnant people and other people's babies because it gives them hope and they get this, you know, this baby fix and that feels good and nourishing to them. Other people, that's incredibly painful. And I think it's important to recognize which camp you're in and to not judge yourself if something mm-hmm. doesn't feel good. And if you know that this is going to be a challenging gathering or something for you to go to, not being so worried about what people are going to say or how they're going to judge you. It's okay to draw that boundary, and you do not have to explain yourself. Like, you don't have to mm-hmm. say, I'm not coming because I'm going through IVF.
Right.
Say, you know, we have a lot going on in our lives right now, and it just doesn't feel right to us to travel or to do this year. And, you know, if people are really insistent asking questions about that, you just don't owe them an explanation. It's your life. It's your journey. You can choose to keep this, what you're going through, private. You can choose to share it, but either way, nobody else is entitled to it. It's your choice. Right.
Yeah, totally agree. Okay. So if we are going to talk about going to parties and all the other, if you do decide to participate in the traveling and the parties, I would say, you know, try to think ahead of time of what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do, and then just be completely okay with that. And just understand that, you know, we already talked about perfectionism, about, you know, we don't like the word cheat, you know, it's a choice and you've made it. And, I think one thing that we want to make sure that we're clear on is, even if you decide to make that choice and you do have, let's say, a slice of pie, life is not, or your treatment plan isn't over, right? Like, you don't have to start back from scratch. You didn't ruin everything. All your money isn't wasted. Like, all you did was just, you know, have a little slice of pie, and it's okay. You can get back on the horse and keep going, and you are going to still make progress. And you might feel the effects the next day, depending on what exactly you ate. And that could be information for you. That could be like, oh, okay, I understand that when I had, you know, for me, I'll just give you my own example. I was talking to Kristen about this earlier, is I've been recognizing that I'm pretty sensitive to potatoes, especially white potatoes, this year, this summer. And I've been kind of saying it out loud, but I haven't really done a complete elimination yet. And of course, what's mainly a Thanksgiving like staple is mashed potatoes. And I was so grateful that I was able to have 3 Thanksgiving dinners. And so I had 3 servings of mashed potatoes in a row. And I really felt the effects, you guys. I did not feel well on Saturday and Sunday, and luckily I'm coming out of it today. But you know, that to me was a choice. It was a choice. I knew that I was probably sensitive to potatoes. I decided to have them, and I felt the effects from it. And now I get to say, okay, okay, moving forward, I understand that next holiday season, I'll probably skip the potatoes. Like, I'm probably going to do that because, you know, it's information. All it is information. And did I enjoy the potatoes? Yes, I did. So just if you make that choice, just enjoy it, you know, let it nourish you, enjoy the taste, and don't let it hang on you emotionally.
I agree with that. Yeah. I always tell people, they're like, what if I cheat? And I said, it's not cheating. It's making a choice. But we always use that as an information gathering exercise. I mean, especially if you're like, if you're on a more strict elimination, you know that you're going to make a choice to do something that's a little off plan, you know, for what we've put together for you. And if you choose to do something like that, then I just tell people to be really conscious of what those symptoms are that come up from it. And if nothing comes up, that's great. That's information. Mm-hmm. But if you don't feel well, that's also information. Mm-hmm. And I really think that how strict you need to be with your current plan also depends on, you know, what you have going on with your health. Like, it's not just where you are in treatment, but how severe of a flare of a chronic condition, for instance, are you going to put yourself through, you know, like something like endometriosis. And if you choose to indulge in something that's full of gluten and dairy, is that going to cause pain for you? Is that going to throw off where, you know, where you're at in your cycle and cause pain? Some women experience pretty immediate and significant and lengthy pain from an episode like that. And so yeah. It's kind of deciding, are you going to make choices that you might not make otherwise in everyday life? And if you are, what are those choices going to be? So like my rule in the past has always been, I don't quote cheat with food and alcohol in the same gathering. Like if I want to have a glass of wine, I'm going to really try to make sure that my food is dialed in and vice versa. So that's something that has actually served me pretty well in the past. Now, granted, you know, for the past few years, I haven't been actively trying to conceive, and I personally would probably have a more strict mindset if I were in that like 3 months before trying to conceive. But that's also given my history of chronic illness and inflammatory issues and how I would be thinking about how that would affect my egg quality. That would be my choice. But you know, if you're kind of more in like a preconception, like we're thinking about having kids next year, we're not in treatment, we don't have any reason to believe that there's anything wrong, I'm just kind of eating better because I really want to prepare my body, and you're not dealing with a whole bunch of chronic health symptoms, like a piece of pie probably isn't going to kill you. I mean, yeah, you might give yourself a little bit of an insulin surge that isn't ideal, but that's the other thing, is like trying to combine foods a little bit better. So not just binging on sweets, but also making sure that you ate adequate protein and that you had a good amount of fat with your meal. Those are the types of things that can help manage that blood sugar response, an inflammatory response that you might get from an insulin surge, for instance. So
yeah,
there's a lot of different ways to kind of manage that and decide what's going to be best for you.
Yeah. I like how you said, what kind of like your rules are that you made for yourself, and they don't seem overly strict. And I can see why they're not overly strict for you because of your chronic health history. And so, you know, kind of where your boundaries are. So it is important to understand where your boundaries are. And like for myself, you know, mine is no gluten and then maybe very minimal dairy. I try to do no dairy, but if I knew mashed potatoes had butter in them, I probably ate mashed potatoes with butter. And so another reason why I probably didn't feel so well, but like the gluten was my boundary. Like I am not having gluten because I know 100%, I know that that's not going to make me feel well. So, you know, I'm still experimenting, but I also know where my boundaries are. And then of course with like alcoholic beverage intake, you know, no liquor intake, and then like maximum 2 glasses of wine over like a 4-hour period. So just have your boundaries so you know, so you're not looking back on the next day and being like, wow, I really overdid it. I really feel bad about myself. I'm feeling guilty. I'm feeling horrible. You know, we really want to try to avoid all of the guilt and shame, you know, around the holiday season, because that's not what it's about. You know, the holiday season is to love yourself, love your family, you know, give, and it's really about joy and none of this guilt and shame.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I've done the guilt and shame. I beat myself up, you know, not knowing that I had gut infections for the first couple of years of my journey made me feel like every time I ate a food that didn't work for me, that it was my fault that I was sick, that it was my fault that I felt like crap. But I had a lot of confounding health issues, and I was blaming all that stuff on myself. And the mental and emotional turmoil that came from that was probably far more harmful than the food that I ate. So, you know, my rules are gluten and dairy free, and I stick to a pretty paleo template. Occasionally I'll have something with grains. And, you know, that's not a super typical thing, but I also like, I try to stick to whole nutrient dense foods. So processed foods, like as long as I've made it myself, I feel pretty good about that. I know everything that went into it. I know it's not full of processed flour. I know it's not full of white sugar, you know, and that's okay with me. And I feel like I'm at a point in my health where a few exceptions here and there are not the end of the world. And somebody else might be in a different place, and it might feel better to them to be 100% strict with their diet. And that's completely fine if that's you. Right. You know, we had Anna Rapp on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, And it just felt better to her to be 100% strict. And in the past, I would definitely consider that to be myself as well. And like I said, if I was in IVF treatment or I was in like that 3-month period where I was really concerned about egg quality, I probably would make different choices. But, you know, I really think that the mind-body stuff is really discounted. We focus so much on what we're putting in our bodies. We don't consider that our thoughts are a big part of that, and they're a big part of the physiological outcome that we get. And being worried about having a food that you are concerned isn't going to work for you, like, you can kind of create your own reality. Like, there was this really, I have to share the study because I've read it a couple of times in different books now. And it was about kids that were allergic. They were like shown to be allergic to poison ivy before the start of the study. And they took a harmless leaf, told all the kids that it was poison ivy, and rubbed it on their skin. And 50% of them developed a rash because they were expecting to, you know, they were told that they had an allergen that was going to be put on their body. They were convinced, like, I'm allergic to this. I know I'm allergic to this. So a harmless leaf caused a rash like that. Their body was preparing for that. We've talked a couple of times, maybe on the podcast, about the placebo effect, and it works both ways, you know, believing yourself better, but also believing yourself sick. And I think that that is applicable to food sensitivity type of things. You know, if you can feel comfortable with the decision that you're making and say, I am going to take this food and allow it to nourish me for everything that it's worth, and it's going to be fine. Like, I'm going to digest it. Like, that might not work 100%. Like, you might still have symptoms, but it's going to work better for you than if you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, I think these mashed potatoes, like, I'm eating these and I know that they have dairy in them and I'm going to be so sick later. I'm going to be in the bathroom with diarrhea. Like, I have done that to myself before, but then I'll eat something, like, I'll be on vacation, or, you know, the last time that my husband and I went to Hawaii a couple of years ago, it was like, I ate so far off what my everyday eating plan was. And yet I had almost no symptoms. And that's really the impact of mindset and stress on the whole process. And so not convincing yourself that you're going to be sick from what you ate is helpful.
Yeah. And that's actually pretty common when people go on vacation. I remember that happened to me. I went to Mexico one time and I, you know, having tacos and all the Mexican food. You really can't, I shouldn't say you can't because you can, but it's harder to stick to a diet regimen or plan or elimination diet when you go to these foreign countries usually, or even other places in the US, but you do feel better. And I think a lot of people listening probably can attest to that. It's like, oh yeah, when I went on vacation, I didn't have any symptoms and I was having all these different things. And a lot of it has to do with mindset and lack of stress, and that you're just in a different, you know, mindset. And so your body is exhibiting that. And it's really quite fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. So with all of that said though, if you're terribly gluten sensitive, I wouldn't cheat with gluten. I wouldn't go off plan with gluten. Like, I just wouldn't do that. If you know that that's a food, because that's with immune system type of issues. Like for myself, I have Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Hashimoto's and gluten are not friends. Like, they don't do nice things in the body when you have Hashis. And that's partly because of the similarity between gluten protein and thyroid tissue. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Autoimmunity in general doesn't respond terribly well to gluten in the diet. And so that's not an exception that I would make. And if you know that that's you, I would be careful with things like that. I would also be careful if you know that you're really terribly dairy sensitive. That might not work for you. You know, alcohol probably isn't the best idea in that 3 to 4 month period before you know you're going to be wanting to try to conceive. I would be a little bit careful with that. You know, if you have a history of miscarriage, for instance, I would be even more careful with alcohol and caffeine. So there are some things, like, you just have to kind of figure out with your history and your unique health presentation what makes sense for you. And what you do during the holidays doesn't have to look like what anyone else does during the holidays. And I've read some blog posts about this, like what's okay to do and what's not okay to do. And like, that's one person's opinion. That's one person's experience. What you do might be totally different. And there is, don't get me wrong, like, there is some research, especially around like alcohol and caffeine and refined carbohydrates. Consuming those things regularly in the diet can be really problematic for fertility and miscarriage risk. But you just really have to make a decision about where you're comfortable based on your unique history. And I hope that many of the episodes that we've done so far on the podcast have helped you guys figure out where you're at with your health a little bit better from a functional perspective. Like, what do you really have going on? Like, some of the episodes that we've had up to this point should hopefully have helped you realize where you might need to focus your efforts on your preconception or your fertility journey. And you can use that as a guide.
Totally. And so I think one issue that probably a lot of you guys can relate to is when you are showing up to a family dinner and they don't understand any of your food sensitivities or elimination diet, or they have no idea. It's funny because when I went to a Thanksgiving dinner this last week, they were like, "Oh, you're vegan, right?" And I was like, "No, that's not like they, it wasn't even worth explaining, like, oh, I'm gluten-free and dairy-free." Like they just, it's not their world. They don't understand it, you know? So, one suggestion that I have, which I didn't do this, and I probably would have saved myself mashed potato illness hell if I did, but is to actually, when you have certain foods that you know are going to have gluten or dairy in them, to make a small side dish and just bring it to the party, you know, like, so you know the turkey is going to be fine, so that's fine. But like rolls, you can bring gluten-free rolls. You can make your own mashed potatoes that are dairy-free. Stuffing, you can make gluten-free stuffing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can bring that doesn't take a whole lot of time and effort, because I mean, like if you go to thrivemarket.com mm-hmm. or something like that, they have all these gluten-free, you know, we don't love prepackaged stuff, but I mean, it's only one meal and it's saving you angst. You might as well just buy it and make it and then bring it. And then you feel like you're eating with a family. They're not questioning like, why aren't you eating with us? Or why aren't you having the mashed potato? You know, you could just say, hey, I brought my own, like, you know, so I think that would help, help a lot of people, just feel like they're part of it without also having to completely explain their whole, you know, elimination diet and I'm this and I'm that. Cause I would say 90% of the time, nobody has a clue what you're talking about.
And they can get really judgy about it. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, we may have addressed this before somewhere on the podcast, but what people think about your dietary choices or your lifestyle choices is their problem, right? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times what's happening is that what you're doing kind of makes them think, oh, should I be doing that? And it makes them really uncomfortable. And they think, well, if you're doing this and saying that that works for you, then you're kind of automatically saying that what I'm doing isn't okay, which is totally not what you're saying, but that's what people hear. And it's a sensitive subject. It's an emotional subject for them. And I have been surprised in the past by how many people have gotten personally offended by my dietary choices. I have also, though, been pleasantly surprised by how many people were interested in what I was doing and thought, hey, you know, maybe that is something that I could consider for myself. And a lot of that's going to be reading your family and reading the situation and how open are they to new ideas and new things? How comfortable do you feel sharing? But once again, just like with all of the other stuff about when are you having kids and why don't you have kids? You don't owe anybody anything. You don't owe anybody an explanation. If you want to bring your own food and eat it, that's fine. And if they have something to say about it, that's your choice, whether you want to educate them or whether you want to say nothing, whether you want to change the subject or whether or not you want to kind of give them a little like, hey, that's not okay. Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. And it is really interesting you making that comment of like how your dietary choices all of a sudden is offending them, which is really quite strange, but it's true, you know, because they do wonder like, what am I doing wrong? Why are you choosing this? And should I be choosing that? And if I'm not, then like, is something wrong with me?
Yeah.
So I would be careful not to push other people into something that you think is working for you, mm-hmm. especially family members. I've had, you know, my own experience with my own mother, which she is very passionate about nutrition and she loves to spread the word about it. And sometimes it can push people away just because, you know, people will come around when they're ready to come around. If they're not ready,
or they don't.
Not ready. Yeah. Or they never do.
Yeah. Personally in my family, it's really tempting, especially when you experience such a massive turnaround in your health, like I did when I first cut gluten out of my diet. And some of you may have heard my story in various episodes, but I completely eliminated generalized anxiety and panic disorder by cutting one food out of my diet. That was a massive change for me. And then I've experienced so much phenomenal healing over the years with food. It's hard not to want to share that with people. So like if you're doing an elimination and you feel amazing, like it's totally okay to share your experience and what you're doing, but there is a fine line for some people between you sharing what works for you and you suggesting that maybe that's what's right for other people too. And I can tell you for sure, and I'm sure Haley can tell you this as well, that it is hard to be really educated on a particular topic and have a lack of interest or watch people struggle with things that you know you could help them with and not be able to say anything. But the reality is that even if you brought it up and shared your knowledge, like maybe you'd be planting some seeds that they come back to later. And of course, you have to read the unique situation that you're in with your family and friends. Everybody's different. But a lot of times that just results in a less than friendly conversation and you don't end up coming off the way that you would ultimately want to. It doesn't come off as helpful. It comes off as a little meddling and kind of interfering. And I've done that. So I know what that looks like. And my rule now is that people know what I do. And, you know, if you're at a party and somebody doesn't know what you do and you tell them and they show interest and they ask questions, share. If they don't show any interest and, you know, they don't seem like they want to know more about what you're doing or what you're experiencing, then don't share more. So I
totally agree.
It's hard to listen to people, especially complain about health issues, because I become acutely aware of when people start talking about like a lot of the things that they're like a lot of the symptoms that they have that are very much nutrition related or could be something very simple that they could do. It's hard to keep quiet sometimes, but keep quiet you must in most situations if you want to have a pleasant time and kind of not get some of that less than ideal feedback from people.
Yeah, totally agree. It's taken us several years to figure that one out, but I think we have a handle on it. But I really hope that you guys have a hard time telling about how amazing you feel, because that means you're doing something right and you're feeling better. And that's really amazing. So we really hope that you're, you know, finding health again and finding that you're that you can navigate these holidays with grace and feel energy without getting the dumps that most people get during the holidays. They celebrate a little too hard and have a lot of roller coaster ups and downs. And what we're hoping for us and for you guys is that it's just kind of this nice glide through the holidays with cheer and no guilt and no shame and confidence and empowerment, and then get ready for a new decade. Can you guys imagine? It's amazing that this is the last month of the, you know, what is the 21st century decade? Did I say that right? Or
I'm not touching that one.
Anyway, we're coming up on a new decade, and I think that's really, really exciting. Lots of new goals and, you know, anticipation.
For sure. You know, and hopefully you guys are at a point where you are feeling confident that whatever you're experiencing on your fertility journey is figure outable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're struggling with that, then please schedule a 20-minute consult and tell us a little bit more about what you're experiencing. This time of year and the coming year, like as you start a new January, and if this wasn't your year, you know, that feeling of like you want next year to be your year, you know, find a team that can help you get what you're looking for. And if you guys have been listening to the podcast and enjoying what we do here, I'd love to help you achieve that in this coming year, or even just get a little bit more support about the holidays. If you have a specific situation or issue that's going to come up this time of year for you guys, like it's totally okay to talk to us about that. So
yeah,
I look forward to hearing from you.
All right. Until next week.